Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, understanding just who were the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and Herodians that Jesus warns us about in the Gospels. In the New Testament, we see four different sects or groups of ruling class elites in Israel who like to run roughshod over everyone and everything. These groups are, and in no particular order, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Herodians. For the most part, they're bad people, and Jesus spends a fair amount of time warning us about them and their doctrinal leaven. In our day, the spirit of these sects survive in the work of the Greek and Hebrew Bible-correcting scholars and Laodicean seminary professors who have corporatized the ministry and turned pastors into CEOs. You know, the money changers and their friends. Jesus says in Matthew 16:6, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Tonight we look at four groups of people that we rarely much talk about, but who deserve to have their work brought to the light so they can get full credit for it. The two main groups are the Pharisees and Sadducees, who, while they have some overlapping similarities, are actually quite different. Pharisees and Sadducees were constantly fighting with each other when they weren't looking to convert disciples to their cause. Scribes maintained the scripture scrolls and the books, a necessary job, but they too lapped into apostasy and error. Bringing up the rear, we have the Herodians, who mixed political power from Herod with a thin veneer of spirituality that is much more at home in Revelation 17 and 18 than just about any place else. Tonight we show you from Scripture just who these people were and why what they taught was so very dangerous. Their doctrine is alive and well here in the 21st century in the form of the Alexandrian cult of Bible scholars whose full-time job it is to corrupt the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father God, for the book, the blood, the blessed hope. And Lord, tonight, as we look at these people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Herodians, these were all people that you had something to say about. And in some cases, you had a lot to say about some of these people. And we would do well to understand why you said what you said, and take a look at their responses to what you said. And Lord, we just thank you for this part of your word, every part of your word. It has been written for our learning and our edification. And we just thank you, God, that you have allowed us to gather one more time by way of radio. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know what it says in Matthew chapter 15? Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 7. Matthew 15:7. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." This is the essence of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, substituting the doctrines of God for the commandments of men. Matthew 15:10 says, "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, talking about the Pharisees. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus has a lot to say about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Herodians. And I don't think we've ever had a particular Bible study where we have just isolated these four groups of people to look at them, to look at their deadly leaven-filled doctrine, and to see why Jesus says that we should have nothing to do with these people. And as I said earlier, these people are alive and well today. Just go to 95% of every seminary in America and you'll meet these people. Look at all the Greek and Hebrew scholars that produce the NIV and the ESV and the Promise and the Message and Good News for Modern Man and the Cipher Bible and the Legacy Standard Bible and all the rest of that junk. There's your scribes, your Pharisees, and your Sadducees. So we're not just looking backward at a group of people that used to exist. We're looking backward to see the roots and the origins of the false doctrine that we have today, and the Bible corruptors who peddle the Word of God and they corrupt the Word of God. And we're going to look at all these people tonight, and I hope that it will be a blessing for you. So glad that you are here with us tonight.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yay! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out. I see prophecies fulfilling, the signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out. at the midnight cry. When Jesus comes again.
If you're just tuning in, tonight we are looking at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Herodians. We're going to show you who those people were. We're going to show you what they believed. We're going to show you how much power and sway and influence that these men had. We're going to show you the Apostle Paul's connection to the Pharisees, and it's really going to be quite an interesting look at Scripture tonight. And as I said earlier, we really don't spend much time talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and especially not the Herodians. I don't think we've ever talked about the Herodians, and tonight we're going to give them their day in court. In Acts chapter 23, turn to Acts chapter 23 and look at what the Apostle Paul says in verse 4 through 6. Acts 23, verses 4 through 6. And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees, and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Here we have Paul intentionally causing a ruckus between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And he does this because he needs a escape route. And so he's going to get the Sadducees and the Pharisees fighting against each other, and it turns into quite the ruckus. And we're going to look at these type of instances, and we're going to see John the Baptist. He didn't care much for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus didn't care at all for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And we're going to look at this group of people called the Herodians. And if you remember the second temple that was in use during this time period, it's also called Herod's temple. And Herod is a wonderful picture and type of Antichrist. And his followers are the little minions that we see popping up in Revelation 17 and 18. So we have a lot of ground to cover tonight, and it's going to be an unusual look at these things, but I hope that it will be a blessing for you. In just about 10 minutes at the bottom of the hour, we're going into our time of prayer and praise. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, just post it into the chat room, and we will lift it up when we pray.
Where
sin I was living. No thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Now my life's worth living. Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say, I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell.
Because
I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. I'm not going to hell.
The preacher got up and said, stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone. But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. I need to know before we pray. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your hand
to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand. When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share, a need in your life? Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and it is such a blessing that we can pray for each other. We can pray for lost souls. We can lift up the needs of ourselves and lift up the needs of others. Your word says in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Paul says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord, tonight we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, in Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, and two great-grandbabies. Trista, Tara, and Ted, Trevor, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier and their families. My three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David. My niece, Melissa, and daughter, Christy. Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved Catholic family members of the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck. In the Weir's Bickey family, Valerie and Marie, Greg Sr. and Greg Jr. Jeffrey's children, Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, and grandsons, Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob have unsaved Catholic family members. Connie has three unsaved children. Brandy, unsaved family members, Rita in Colorado praying for Dan, Ron needs to be saved, Spray of Sunshine's kids, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian, Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M., David Lacker, Bonnie, please pray for my 5 children, 17 grandchildren, and 14 grandsons, Barbara, she is praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer, praying for her best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne, he's praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Beth, Ethan, and Haley. Karen's children, Jason and Tiffany. Grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody. Mark Sherlock, praying for Savannah and her mom, Stephanie. Werner Bukes, for Bob and Abby. Junie and her dad need to be saved. Kathy Hughes' son. Haley, praying for Zane. Lulu, unsaved family members. Many unsaved family members in the Giacomino family. Dawn D, praying for David. Paul Caulfield, for his brother-in-law, Frank. Ramona Hayes, for her daughter, Kimberly, to be saved and to get sober. Also, salvation prayer for grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda and their families. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron, Chelsea P., for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's wife, Shanna, Lori B., Shira McPherson. She wants prayer for children, Scott, Sherry, and Nicole. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin, Mark Fennell. Kevin Thompson for his dad, Tim, Steve Graves, Elga, Rob for his 3 kids, Max, Olivia, and Mikey, Phyllis T. for her husband, Retired Captain Brian A. Robbins, he needs to get saved. Todd Broom's brother, Thad. Marie's friends, family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie asking prayer for parents, sisters, brother-in-law, nieces, and nephews. Joe Russiello for his mom, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen praying for her grandsons, Braden and Logan. His Grace is praying for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason and Carrie, and Jason and Rachel. Lola's son William and wife Lindsay, Hannah's mom. Anja praying for Hanu, John Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans praying for his friend Taylor, Viviana for her brother Javier Reyes. Adam and Katie for their neighbors Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Loretta Oates for her sons Kenny and Matthew. Jane for her son Troy. Julie Lynn for her friend Katie Ann. Chona praying for Estefano Jr., Eugenia and her children, Marisol and Cherry, and Chona's siblings, Julia and Maria. Chuck Edgerton for his son Jacob and mom Lynette. Samantha is praying for Beth, Deborah Hare, Unsaved family members Rita, Teresa, Annabelle, all Unsaved family members. Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia need to get saved. Hap Nightingale, praying for his sons Jimmy and Zach. Lisa for her father John. Norman Merkel for his daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, son-in-law Stephen, and Lynette Crew. Henrik Larson for his parents Kygel and Elizabeth, sister and spouse Ingrid and Frederick, and his mom's Aunt Barrett. Roz praying for lost family members Brian needs to get saved, Andrew Whittington, Marisol Barcina. She has Catholic family members in Panama. Rapture 57 Unsaved family, Gail praying for Jim, Shirley Medor, for her brother and his wife, Eric Brian Huey, for his parents, Anna and Norillo, members of his family and co-workers. Kenny B, Unsaved family, Rachel K, Sandra C, Marky Mark. They all have Unsaved family. The breed of family needs to get saved. Carol from Georgia for her sister, cousins, and Aunt Joey. Regina Danner for Kellyanne, Richard Wayne, and Sandra. Stacy Bunton praying for her husband, Rachel Adams. For Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mikey, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley for salvation and sobriety. Mark for his children, Michael, Matthew, Mason, and Michaela. Mitch for daughters Rachel and Hannah and their husbands. The delivery workers who service the bookstore. Jericho for his family. Brenda's husband Paul for salvation. Kenny for friends and family. Amanda for Melanie and Payton. The Muto family. Steph for Michael. Terry for her family. Xavier, salvation prayer for Mom Reyes, wife Salma, daughters Clara and Lulu. Maria Silva for her Jehovah's Witness family in Venezuela. Donna Lynn's children, Shannon, Todd, Kaylin, and Jake. Tiffany Brown for her mother-in-law, the La Piana family. For extended salvation for extended family members, Dave Evans for his friend Diana. Sue Duchesne's son Norman, CJ's mom. Shira Shine for Kevin, Michelle, and Lewis. Loretta Watsney's husband and children, Rebecca Lynn for Joel Smith. Shirley for Marie, Haley, Patricia, Jaden, Richard, Patricia S., Joshua, Ruby, Gerald, Josiah, Monice, and her husband, Hamid. Mary Annelli's children, Anne Marie and Christine. Grandkids, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Tracy and Ralph Wallace, please pray for son-in-law Ethan, daughter Shanna, and grandson Caden. Beth Peck's husband David, children Heather and Damien, in-laws Barb and Jack. Terry Ewing's daughter Bryn, Teresa M's sons James, Frank, and Peter. Jose De La Rosa's mom Alicia, Patricia T, for son Adam, stepsisters, and stepmom. Chelsea and Brian Plagman, for son Bryce and girlfriend Eva. Zuzana needs to be saved. Vladimira asking prayer for her husband Ken and friend Katka. Steph for her brother Michael. Cassandra for husband Todd. And her sons Nathan, Andrew, and Sonny. Marie Sim for her ex-husband who's a Mason. As well as her son John, daughter Tracy, and their families. Jean-Paul Mesa for his Catholic mom. Deborah Mack for John and Brenda. Zach Jeffson's mom and uncle for salvation. Katrina, Chelsea P. for Mike T. Mia in Texas for her children, Kimberly, Danielle, and AJ. Holly for husband Nick. Rob, please pray for my friend Eddie. Deborah Mack for her friend Brandy. Char for mom and extended family. Linda for Richard Kitzmiller. Heather W. for daughter Sophia. Carly Hamill for Catholic family in Maine, Catholic family in California. Angela Moffitt for her 22-year-old son Matthew. Brooke for her best friend Courtney and her husband James. Veronica Korick for her younger son Gustav. Deborah Mack says, my brother died at the age of 30. Please pray for the salvation of his widow and two sons, Lisa, Kale, and Dane. People who need a healing today. Lori Ann says, please pray for my mom, Joyce, battling cancer and chemo. That's my mom-in-law. Cher for her granddaughter, Cheyenne, waiting to see a neurologist. Steve, my granddaughter's husband, Austin, has been diagnosed with a type of bone cancer and could lose his leg. Amber for a complete healing and peace. Angela, please pray for my sister-in-law, Gail, who has stage four kidney disease, and also for my brother, Larry, to get saved. Linda's sister, Mary Ann, for rheumatoid arthritis. Juanita, please pray for my daughter, Madison. I just lost that. Looking at too many different things here. Daughter Madison battling depression and unsaved family members also for anxiety. Paul Caulfield is receiving death threats, needs prayer for protection while street preaching. Gail has an unspoken, the Lord knows the need. Stephanie, please pray for my husband Andy's battle with alcoholism and salvation. Krista battling breast cancer. Gail, please pray for Katie. She needs a liver transplant. Rick Reynolds for children Carrie, Abby, and Grace, and now grandbaby Lilia. Amanda Emaw battling cancer and chemo. Annetta needs a complete healing to be able to walk again after having a stroke. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis. George H. has health issues. James Rivette is recovering from addiction and mental health issues. Robert Wiley, battling ALS disease. Paul Caulfield, type 1 sugar diabetes. Peggy Caulfield, vasculitis. Brooke Kettlecamp, battling autism. Dan Kane, please pray for my wife Roxy with MS and for son Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Ida Karulik, battling cancer. Mark Seals has numerous health issues. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tracy has severe arthritis, diabetes type 2, and a fatty liver. Michelle Christian has bone cancer. Rob Beatty has stage 4 liver cancer. Melissa B. for husband Brian with stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for her eyesight. KC is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane says, please pray that my parents and brother get saved and my husband gets a healing. Jackie H. needs God's favor regarding her ex and custody of her son. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has vasculitis. Stacy going through a divorce. Please pray that both her and her husband get right with the Lord. Terry Horn has had several strokes and now needs a walker. Another lady named Casey. Please pray for my husband on your prayer list. He is an unsaved and severe alcoholic. Tom Rance is recovering from a stroke and a brain bleed. Kathy Heald, recovering from surgery. Her husband Robert and Aunt Linda have macular degeneration. Wayne needs prayer for cancer and salvation. Teresa G. has macular degeneration. Linda Benjamin, overall health and memory issues. Berta and Mike Crabb need a healing. Irma needs prayer for a healing about tumors in her bladder. Justin up in Canada, he needs the Lord to do something. Chaplain Billy Crenshaw, we just sent them a whole bunch of Bibles last week for their ministry at the Eastern Alabama Medical Center. They have a very vibrant ministry to the Spanish-speaking people there. And Chaplain Billy has had a staph infection that attacked his knee replacement, and he's going to be undergoing physical therapy for several weeks. And I promised him we would put him on the list. Ladies who are expecting, Char's daughter Miranda, Stephanie Juliana, Sarah Ann Severson, Spray of Sunshine. Her son and girlfriend are expecting twins. Jose and Anna De La Rosa expecting their third child. And Jordan P. gave birth to little baby Megan, who is a preemie at 29 weeks. And we are praying for her to grow and be healthy. Mark Saxa would like prayer for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. John Walker and his wife for their track ministry. Jan Lacker for son David to get saved, and for God to get into her marriage and to do a work in that whole thing. Just lift up Jan and the entire family. Julie Baird, living situation and finances. Deborah Mack for Devin Miller. Lost Lake Lass for her son Tristan. Linda LaPiana for her children Stephen, Danielle, and Christopher to get right with the Lord. Dina for son Jordan. He's studying in Japan until May. Please pray for his safety and salvation. Beth and Steph will be coming to St. Augustine in 2 weeks to visit the bookstore and to come spend some time with us at Bethany Baptist Church. And she says, please pray for us for traveling mercies and safety. We certainly will. We spent some time this weekend with NTEB-er David Brooks, and he came to the bookstore. He came to church this morning, and it was a blessing spending time with him. People with an unspoken, Dave M., Jeanette, Adrian Breda, Debbie Mathias, Julius, Dave Evans, Ricky Gouda, Blaine, Jennifer, Carol from Georgia, Ron M., Bonnie, Marie Comfort, Robs, Steph, Marie C., Mona and Leah, Angela, Brooke, Lulu, Linda Pippin, Andrew, and Lorianne. Please remember our free Bible and Gospel Tract program in your prayers, and our overseas pastors, Pastors Johnry, Danny, and Arnell. And when I say overseas pastors, I mean to say that these are pastors whose ministry we support, and we send Bibles and gospel tracts, and we do all sorts of things. We've helped some of them get the electricity turned on and help them to purchase uniforms for their church students and to put seats into their sanctuaries. And over the years, the Lord has used us to a very high degree to help these people, and we're very happy to do it. So when we say our overseas pastors, we're talking about pastors in foreign countries that we support, and we help them to do the work that God has called them to do. In Vietnam, Pastor Pho John. In Turkey, Luann is an American missionary. In India, Pastor David Mark. In the UK, Stephen McCarroll. In Uganda, our very own Erad Bairumumishu. In Spain, we have Xavier. Please remember our NTEB street preachers. Up in New York City, we have Brian Kelly. In Baton Rouge, we have Kyle and Reagan Gorzel. We have Marie in Philadelphia. Mike Abram, who is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. Jay is a street preacher in New York City who preaches to the LGBTQ. Joe Russiello has a street ministry in Eagle Pass. Joshua Gaskins has a gospel tract ministry in Virginia. And Aaron and Teresa McMahon of CPR Missions. Aaron is going to be one of our preachers at the camp meeting this year. And he is a powerful soul winner for the Lord. And everywhere he goes, people pray to get saved. And you are definitely going to want to hear what he's going to preach about at the camp meeting on May 19th. Up in Canada, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Werner Bukes. In South Africa, we have Arthur Uwies. In Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. Let's go to the chat room and see what we have going on in the chat room. Erad says this: my wife Beth and I celebrate the first birthday of our daughter, Gayla Maranatha. She is 1 year old. So you know what we're going to do? When we're done praying, we are going to wish a very happy NTEB birthday to baby Maranatha Bairumumishu. And what a blessing that is. And Erad says if anybody is interested in sending her a birthday gift, you can send it to Erad Bairumumishu, P.O. Box 70, Kanuga, Uganda. And what a beautiful child that she is. And in just a moment, we are going to wish baby Maranatha a very happy NTEB birthday. Rob says, wow, that went quick. It sure did. It went very, very quick, and we are so happy for Erad and his wife, Elizabeth. Chat room, Regina Danner. Believer is going home to the Lord this week. Please pray comfort for the family. Dominica Dominguez. Please pray for my family's salvation. My brother and sister are backslidden. Regina Danner had laser surgery on one of my eyes. And thank God everything is fine. Heath, I'm trying to quit smoking and I'm in a bad mood. I'm not pleasant to be around. Well, we will pray that the Lord gives you the victory over tobacco and he will restore your normally pleasant demeanor. Jeanette, I have a pastor friend that moved to Ardmore, Oklahoma. And that town has been totaled from a tornado. Please pray for well, she doesn't give his name. And then there is a woman named Cindy Ray, who is also from Ardmore. So we're going to pray for the people of Ardmore, Oklahoma. Brooke White, please pray for my husband's family. Angela, Ariel, Bailey, Tabitha, and Eric to get saved. Lola W. has an unspoken. Jeanette says, praise the Lord, I have a new part-time caregiver. Amen. And Heath has an unspoken. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, and we praise you. And Lord, all these prayer requests and praise reports, large and small, spoken and unspoken, we ask you, God, to get into the middle of all these things and, Lord, answer these prayers according to your will for us, for your glory, for our good. And, Lord, only you can do it. And we confess our dependence upon you, and we just thank you and praise you and commit all of this to you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. So let's just take a quick moment and wish Little Baby Maranatha Bairumumishu, a very happy 1 year birthday.
It's the day that you were born. It's the day your mama brought you home. It's a special day. Let us celebrate. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. I'm going to celebrate with you. Have you celebrate. Tell everybody. Come on, y'all. Come on and celebrate. On your birthday. Come on, y'all.
And a very happy NTE birthday to baby Maranatha. Hope you are having a great day today. We'll be right back after this, and we're going to get into tonight's Bible study, where we're going to look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and a little group of people called the Herodians. We'll be right back after this. Open up your Bibles tonight, and we are going to look at four groups of people. We are going to look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and a group of people called the Herodians. And the first people that we're looking at tonight is we're looking at the Pharisees. Now, there is a temptation to lump the Pharisees and the Sadducees in together. Both groups, they honored Moses and the law. Both groups had a certain measure of political power. But the differences between the Sadducees and the Pharisees are doctrinal differences. And we're going to look at that in just a little bit. But let's start out in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Well, actually 4 through 7. Matthew chapter 3, verses 4 through, well, hold on a second here. How much of this do I want? Well, we're going to go Matthew chapter 3, verses 4 through 12. 4 through 12. Talking about John the Baptist. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 10 says, And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than me, than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So go back to verse 7. Go back to verse 7. John the Baptist says this, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Jesus didn't like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. John the Baptist doesn't like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He calls them vipers, and he is telling them basically, get out, because you are lying hypocrites. You have an outward show, but on the inside, you remain unconverted. And so John calls them vipers, and he says, you get out and come back with fruits that are worthy, that are meet for repentance. And then in verse 9, he gives them a warning. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now, keep your finger, well, turn to Galatians chapter 3. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 and look at verses 26 through 29. Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 29. Talking about Abraham's children. And John the Baptist is warning the Pharisees and the Sadducees, don't think that because you call yourself Abraham's children, that that's going to cover you. Jews today talk about having a covenant through Abraham. John Hagee, you know what he tells the Jewish people? John Hagee tells the Jewish people that they don't need Jesus Christ because they have the covenant with Abraham from Genesis chapter 15. And John the Baptist is saying, don't think because you have a connection to Abraham that's going to get the job done for you. And John the Baptist is telling them that is not going to cut the mustard. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Our apostle Paul says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And then look at what Paul says. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Turn to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter. Look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Peter says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, hey, don't worry about having that covenant with Abraham, because there's a new covenant coming. And the Messiah is here. And you better get with the program. And if you don't, your covenant with Abraham is not going to help you. And we have looked at that from a dispensational perspective many, many times. Let's look at another example. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and let's look at verse 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. Jesus says, think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. By implication, he is telling you that the scribes and the Pharisees are not going to be entering into the kingdom of heaven. And you can put the Sadducees on that list as well. Let's look at another example. Let's look at another example. Matthew 15. Turn to Matthew 15. Let's look at verses... let's just start at the top of the chapter. There is so much ground to cover with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, the Pharisees were a religious group with political overtones. The Sadducees were a religious group with political overtones. The Herodians were a political group with religious overtones. And the scribes, they were the ones that were in charge of copying the scriptures, making the scrolls, making sure that every jot and every tittle was in its proper place. But over time, the scribes began to be very puffed up. They began to look at the work that they were called to do, that they were the ones that were making copies of the scripture, writing the book of Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel and all the prophets and the Torah. And over time, the scribes began to be very concerned with the letter of the law. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. And Paul has a lot to say about the letter of the law. And he says the letter of the law kills. But he says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is calling out the scribes, because they have created a whole secondary list of traditions and commandments that were not part of the law of Moses. And what happened over time, the rabbis picked these things up and everything got all mixed together. And now you have the commandments of men being taught on an equal level with the commandments of God. And it was really the scribes who were responsible for this. And of course, the Pharisees helped them out to a very high degree. Now, look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. This is what Jesus thinks of the scribes and the Pharisees. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I don't know about you, but I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. I was raised praying the rosary. And you would pray 9 Hail Marys and 1 Our Father. I think that was called the Decalogue or something, or not the Decalogue. It was called something. And the Hail Mary prayer is a prayer that Catholics pray for salvation. And the Roman Catholic Church has created sacraments and worship of things that the Bible says we shouldn't even be worshiping. And they pray to the saints and they pray to dead people. Did you know that every single Catholic church that is erected anywhere in the world has in the foundation of the church a piece of a dead body of a saint? So every single Roman Catholic church is built on the dead body of some person, a piece of that person's dead body. The Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, calls that necrophilia, where you are romancing the dead. Matthew 15:7, ye hypocrites, that's what he calls them. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You know what Jesus thinks about the Pharisees being offended? He likes it. He is intentionally trying to offend them. He is calling them out. Verse 7, he called them hypocrites. And this is what he says. Verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, let them alone. Verse 14, they be blind leaders of the blind. That's harsh. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Let me give you one more. Let me give you one more. Matthew chapter 23. This is the big one. Matthew chapter 23. Let's start reading in verse 13. Matthew 23, 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye can pass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sacrifices the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. And he says, ye fools and blind. And it goes on and on and on. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but they are full of extortion and excess. And then, I mean, he hits them a couple more times. And then go down to verse 31. This is very similar to what Stephen was preaching in Acts chapter 7. Matthew 23, 31. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Well, that's a rhetorical question. They cannot escape the damnation of hell. Could these people get saved? Absolutely. Are they saved? Are they doing the right thing? Absolutely not. And Jesus hates these people. There is no way that you can read Matthew chapter 23 and not come away with the idea that Jesus absolutely hates the scribes and the Pharisees, and we can throw the Sadducees in, but in the context, it is the scribes and the Pharisees. And he doesn't like anything that they do. He doesn't like anything that they say. He doesn't like anything that they teach. And he calls them vipers, hypocrites. He calls them, what else does he call them? Serpents. And he says, fill ye up the measure of your father. Verse 34, Matthew 23, 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify. Peter died by crucifixion. Matthew died by being stoned to, Stephen died by being stoned to death. Paul died by beheading. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Jesus doesn't like anything about these people. They are liars. They are hypocrites. They use and twist and pervert the Old Testament scriptures so that they can plunder the people that become their converts. And Jesus just, he doesn't like anything about these people. And Matthew chapter 23, from my perspective, is one of the hardest chapters in the entire New Testament. And can you imagine Jesus saying this about you? Make it personal. What if you were having a conversation with Jesus and he says, woe unto you, you viper, you blind guide, you fool, you serpent. All this judgment's going to come upon you. Oh, man. Well, before you got saved, you were in exactly the same position. Before you got saved, you were going to wind up with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians in that place called hell that burns with fire that is unquenchable. That is unquenchable. And when I look at the landscape today in 2024, and I look around and I see who would be a modern day scribe and Pharisee and Sadducee, what type of people might be filling those positions today? Well, I look at the people who run most of the seminaries. And the people coming out of these seminaries are not trained for the ministry. They have been trained to operate a church as a corporation, as a business. And instead of being a pastor, they function more as a CEO. And that's what most of these seminaries are producing today. I watched a video of Andy Stanley. He's a graduate of the Dallas Theological Seminary, and he is held in crazy high regard by those people. They fawn all over him to get his blessing. Now, why would you want Andy Stanley's blessing? If you've ever listened to 5 seconds of anything that he's ever taught, you would run from this guy so fast. I mean, he is, for every one thing he gets right, he gets about 15 things wrong. And the people at places like Dallas Theological seminary. They fawn all over this guy. Take a listen to just a couple of minutes of this. Well, maybe just 1 minute. Hold on just 1 second. Take a listen.
Our speaker today is Dr. Pastor Reverend Boss Man Andy Stanley. He's a communicator. He's an author. He's a pastor. He founded Atlanta-based North Point Ministries in 1995. And today it consists of nine other churches besides the main campus, 10 churches in total in the Atlanta area, with an extended network of over 90 churches around the globe that collectively serve nearly 200,000 people on a weekly basis.
So now we're starting to see why Andy Stanley is held in such regard. He has created a network of churches that has just under 250,000 people tuning in every Sunday. That's a lot of donations. That's a lot of love gifts. That's a lot of money to go into the treasury. And this man who was speaking is one of the heads of the Dallas Theological Seminary. Now, if you've never heard the type of stuff that Andy Stanley teaches, well, take a listen to this.
It really begins like this. Many of you, you're like me, many of you were brought up to believe this. Jesus loves me, this I know, right? I mean, if it's a fabulous song. Most of our kids are still singing this song. We sang this song. Jesus loves me, this I know. What's the next line? Right, for the Bible tells me so. And this is where our trouble began. It really did. This is where our trouble began because, and don't leave, because the implication is, this is important. The implication is the Bible is the reason we believe. The Bible is the reason to believe. In other words, I can believe Jesus loves me because it's in the Bible. I grew up in a church where basically the byline, the subtitle for everything was, if the Bible says it, that, anybody? Settles it right here on the front row. Yeah, that's right. If the Bible says it, that settles it. And so we send kids off to college with a, if the Bible says it, that settles it. And oh my goodness, they discover that that didn't settle it. And then they come home and they say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, my granddad, Uncle, Aunt, did you know? And it's like, I don't ask those questions. The Bible says it, that settles it. The Bible says it, that settles it. The problem is this. The problem with that is this. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, if the Bible is the foundation of our faith, as the Bible goes, so goes our faith.
So he's asking a rhetorical question. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, well, the Bible is the foundation of our faith. Without that Bible, we don't know about Jesus Christ. Without that Bible, we don't know about the apostles. Without that Bible, we don't know anything about the Old Testament. Without that Bible, we don't know about the Apostle Paul. We don't know about salvation by grace through faith. Who is Andy Stanley? He's one of the Pharisees in 2024. Who is Dallas Theological Seminary? They're the scribes. They're the scribes that produce this slop. And maybe you're listening and maybe you attended Dallas Theological Seminary, and maybe what I'm saying offends you. But you know what I find offensive? I'm just going to play the first 30 seconds of this guy from Dallas Theological Seminary fawning over Andy Stanley like he is Elvis.
Our speaker today is Dr. Pastor Reverend Boss Man Andy Stanley. He's a communicator. He's an author. He's a pastor. He founded Atlanta-based North Point Ministries in 1995. And today it consists of nine other churches besides the main campus, 10 churches in total in the Atlanta area, with an extended network of over 90 churches around the globe that collectively serve nearly 200,000 people on a weekly basis. He holds undergraduate degree in journalism from Georgia State University, and a THM from Dallas Seminary. He's the author of more than 20 books.
If that doesn't offend you, that's a problem. That should offend you. Andy Stanley has an enormous ministry. And what is he teaching people? Well, he's teaching people that slop that I just played for you, where he's trying to destroy your faith in the Bible. And I can't even say in the King James Bible, because Andy Stanley doesn't use the King James Bible all that often. So when we're looking at places like Matthew chapter 23, and we're looking at the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus has such contempt for, don't think that this is a 2,000-year-old thing and everything is in the past. These people, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're alive and well, and they're churning out CEO pastors that are creating church corporations that make the commandment of God of none effect with their tradition. All right, we have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a lot of ground to cover. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
I'm not trying to sing because I think I can sing. I just want to sing. Once I wandered out in sin, had no peace, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. But the Savior came along. The wind inside. Well, I'm on the wayside. I'm on the wayside. No more I'm sin. Well, I abide. I've been listening in the Bible for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord.
Back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study, where we're taking just a quick look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Herodians. We have a lot left to talk about, but before we get there, I just wanted to tell you some great news about the Bibles Behind Bars program. If you remember, last year we sent 1,000 King James Bibles to the Wooster Bible Church in Wooster, Ohio. And Brother Dave Spurgeon went there and he preached. And a bunch of men got saved, and we were very happy to hear about that. And then last week, I got a text message from the people at Wooster Bible Church, and they said that Brother Spurgeon was again visiting them. They took a group of men. They went back to the Richland Correctional Institution, and they brought with them 17 cases of Bibles. That's about 269. No, let me just see here. My math is not good. 17 times 20. 17 times 20. 340 King James Bibles they brought into the Richland Correctional Institution. That is the last of the 1,000 Bibles that we sent them. And what a blessing. 10 inmates got saved. They heard the gospel preached from Brother Dave Spurgeon, and they received the gospel. They believed the gospel. And when he asked at the end, did anybody pray to get saved? And 10 men raised their hand. So we are continuing to have so much fruit through our Bibles Behind Bars program. We are coming up on 400 souls that have a testimony of salvation over the last 3 years directly connected to the Bibles that we are sending them. And if you want to shout about something, if you want to, you want some good news in this dark world where bad things happen every day, and the New World Order is gaining by leaps and bounds, and all this crazy stuff, and Joe Biden is about to become president again. Barack Obama's going to have a fourth term. You want some good news? Well, we're sending out Bibles to jails and prisons across America. And to date, almost 400 people have gotten saved through these Bibles that we're sending out. And that is such a blessing. That encourages us to such a high degree. If you would like to help us to do this, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com, BiblesBehindBars.com, and make a donation. It's very expensive to send these Bibles out. We're always looking for cheaper ways to do it. But we don't want to send out cheap Bibles. We are finding better ways to do it. But we have sent out over 300,000 Bibles, New Testament, Scripture portions, and Gospel tracts. And that is because you people pray for this program and you people donate financially. So if you think that men and women getting saved in prison is a good thing, and if you're wondering that if you should support that, well, why don't you pray and ask the Lord if you should support men and women getting saved behind bars with Bibles Behind Bars? And we are so very excited by this news. Pray for these 10 inmates who raised their hand to get saved, and pray for these 360 Bibles that have been delivered last week to the jail, that they will bear much fruit for the Lord and more people will get saved. All right, let's get back to tonight's Bible study. Told you about the scribes, told you about the Pharisees. The Sadducees are very, very much like the Pharisees, but there is a big, big difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Turn to Acts chapter 23. Turn to Acts chapter 23. And let's start reading in verse 1. Acts 23, verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, this is the Sanhedrin, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Verse 3 says, "Then Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for thou sittest to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law." And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he hatches a plan. He cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. And there's a reason why the Sadducees and the Pharisees start fighting each other. Verse 8, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part rose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded his soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." So, the Apostle Paul was in a tough spot. He was backed into the corner. They started smiting him on the mouth, and it was starting to look like this was going to be it for the Apostle Paul. And so, what does he do when he perceives that the room is filled with Sadducees and Pharisees? Well, he throws down onto the table the main difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, got them fighting amongst themselves, and then he was able to slip out and get to safety. So, Sadducees, very, very much like the Pharisees, with the exception that the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. They're kind of like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses say that when you die, hell is the grave. And it's like somebody turns out a light. So that's the main difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And let's look at verse 16. Let's meet this group of people called the Herodians. Remember, the temple that's in operation is called the Temple of Herod. Herod is a half-breed Jew who is sold out to the Romans, but he has a little bit of a spiritual flair about him. He has a form of godliness, but he denies the power thereof. Matthew 22:15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. So they want to come up with a way to trip up Jesus. Verse 16 says, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? What they're doing in verse 16 is they're giving him an empty, meaningless compliment. And Jesus is not swayed by this phony compliment. Oh, we know that thou art true, and thou teachest the way of God, and care not for any man or his person. You know what Jesus says when he hears their phony compliment and then their question that they're trying to trap him with? Verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt me, ye hypocrites? Don't come tempting me. You guys are a bunch of wicked hypocrites. And of course, he's talking about the Herodians and the Pharisees. Keep your finger there and turn to John chapter 3. I'll show you another meaningless compliment. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, and here comes the meaningless compliment, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, have you ever wondered what was going on in Nicodemus's mind? Was he really expecting with this phony compliment that he would say this to Jesus, the author of truth, the living truth? And what was he expecting Jesus to reply with? Thank you, my son. Yes, that's true. I'm from God and you're not. And only I can do these miracles. And I mean, come on. What was Nicodemus expecting? Well, look at what Jesus says to him. He ignores the phony compliment. We've already found out from the Gospel of Matthew what Jesus thinks of the scribes and the hypocrites. The scribes and the Pharisees, they're hypocrites. He doesn't like them. Jesus answered and said unto him, John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Go down to verse 7. Verse 7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Jesus ignores this phony compliment. He gets right to the heart of Nicodemus's problem and says, Nick, you know what your problem is? You have Adam's image. Not talking about original sin like the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. You know why people have to become born again? Now, if you were a Roman Catholic, the Roman Catholics say it's because of original sin. Well, why would God punish you for what your ancestors did? That's not a Bible teaching. That's a Roman Catholic teaching. The reason why we have to become born again goes much deeper than the idea or the concept of original sin. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. Genesis 5:3 says, And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and called his name Seth. Everybody who was born after Genesis 5:3, everybody who was born after the birth of Seth, is in the image of Adam who fell. You don't even have to sin. You are a sinner. This is not the original sin of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were cursed and driven out, and then they had children. And Moses is very careful to tell you that these children that were born to Adam and Eve after they fell were born in Adam's image. You know why you have to be born again? Because your first birth is no good. You were born into the image of Adam. Now you have to be reborn into the image of Jesus Christ. That's who you have to be reborn into. It's not so much about original sin. It is about the fact that you were born with the image of Adam. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to what? To the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 49. 1 Corinthians 15, 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Let me give you one more. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 8 through 10. Colossians 3, 8 through 10. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The reason why you have to be born again, Nicodemus, is because your first birth was no good. Two more verses about the Herodians. Turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Mark chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. That's what the Herodians want to do with Jesus Christ. That's what the Pharisees want to do with Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was not one of the good guys. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 13. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. Now, I told you about the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and this is the last group, the Herodians. The Herodians are named after King Herod. And King Herod was somebody who hated Jesus Christ. Not only that, he hated the idea of the Messiah coming. And he did everything that he could possibly do to stop those prophecies from coming true. Let me just pull up one quick verse. Let me pull up one quick verse to show you about Herod. And turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. Matthew 2, 9 through 13. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. This is the wise men going to visit the two-year-old baby Jesus. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, lo, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Are you starting to see who the Herodians were? They were the ones that they craved political power. And they had a little bit of a touch of spirituality. When I think of people like that, I think of people like Benny Hinn. I think of people like Greg Locke. I think of people like Sean Fecht. And many of these people who they want political power. They want prominence. They want to rule over other people. And they have just a little bit of a swizzle stick of spirituality to wash the whole thing down with. That's who the Herodians were. They were bad people. The Pharisees were bad. If somebody calls you a Pharisee, is that a compliment? I mean, no one's going to call you a Sadducee. But if somebody called you a Pharisee, what are they saying? They're saying that you're a lying hypocrite, is what they're saying. When Nicodemus came to Jesus in John chapter 3, John says Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a lying hypocrite. And he came with a phony compliment. He came with a phony compliment. And Jesus didn't take the bait. He wasn't swayed by that for 1/10 of 1 second. And he told, just like John the Baptist said, Who warned you, generation of vipers, to flee from the wrath to come? Why don't you get right with God? And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And with that, we've come to the end of our time. I hope this Bible study was a blessing to you in this look at the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and the Herodians. Now, when in your daily Bible reading, when you come across these people, now there's a little bit of meat on the bones. You know a little bit about them and how they figure into the whole situation. Remember, Camp Meeting Weekend coming up on May 17th through the 19th. We are 3 weeks away from Camp Meeting Weekend. If you have any questions, please call the bookstore and they'll be happy to help you. You can send us an email and we'll do our best to answer your questions. But we have a full house for the camp meeting, and we are so very excited, and we're looking forward to welcoming Brother Aaron McMahon and his wife Teresa from CPR Missions, Chaplain Steve Harrington and his wife from the Ader County Jail in Oklahoma, and Brother Roy Bell from the Open Door Bible Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, where our theme is going to be Setting the Captives Free. And it is going to be, Lord willing, a great camp meeting about ministry. If you have a heart for jail and prison ministry, this is going to be the world series of jail and prison ministry. And we are so very much looking forward to it. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, noon Eastern time, for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
Someday you'll read in the newspapers that Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1855. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the Spirit shall live forever.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheers.